With the national media concentrating on negative news from the administration, Mr. Trump's numbers continue to improve. Members of the GOP indicated 90% job approval rating, while those identified as Democrats or leaning that way gave Mr. Trump a 40% job approval rating. I'm John Clemens.
Former Supreme Court Justice and first woman appointed to the Supreme Court, Sandra Day O'Connor, announced today that she was diagnosed with dementia and is withdrawing from a post-retirement career that included speaking engagements. Quick look at your numbers on Wall Street. Currently, the Dow is down over 300 points on this Tuesday. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Now you can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. That's 800-215-5141.
Capitalism can receive a bad rap sometimes, and sometimes it's because people feel that capitalism equals greed. Economist, journalist, and historian Adrian Wooldridge joined up with Alan Greenspan, and they wrote a new book titled Capitalism in America, A History. I had a chance to chat with Wooldridge, and one of the things we discussed was capitalism and greed.
Everybody's greedy. You know, rich people are greedy, poor people are greedy. You know, the people have been greedy throughout human history. You know, capitalism is something that developed really from the mid-17th, mid-18th century onwards, and is based upon, you know, business, entrepreneurialism, corporations existing. Capitalism is not synonymous with greed. It's not just synonymous with everybody doing their own things. In order to have capitalism, you need to have a complicated set of institutions that work, many of which are underwritten by the government. You need stock markets, you need corporations, you need freedom of exchange, and you need a legal system which enforces contracts. So capitalism is not anarchy. Capitalism is not greed. Capitalism is a highly organized, sophisticated mode of exchange. And one of the things that happens with capitalism is that you get growth becoming endemic in a society. We tend to imagine that getting richer is a natural thing in human existence. It's not.
Wooldridge also told me that he believes once we can get our costs of health care under control, you'll be able to keep more of your own money. For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunter and Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This program is brought to you by Joe Peters at Coldwell Banker, certified USAA Real Estate Rewards Network agent. If you are a spouse or a USAA member, you can get a reward of between $350 and $6,000 when you buy or sell your next home. This also applies to the children and grandchildren of current USAA members. Call Joe Peters at Coldwell Banker to learn more. He can be reached at 908-238-0118. That's 908-238-0118.
Greetings, warriors, veterans, and America-loving citizens from sea to shining sea. Welcome to Frontlines of Freedom. Hoo-wah! We're talking Russia and China today. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Thanks for joining us. Joining me at the 50 caliber microphone today is co-host Air Force vet Josh Lang. What's going on, Josh?
Good to have you back from Dallas, Colonel. Glad you made it back in time for Rivalry Week. Which brings me to a quick story you probably don't know. But first, to set the stage, I share with you this miraculous soundbite from college football history.
Whoa, he has trouble with the snap, and the ball is free! It's picked up by Michigan State's Jalen Watts Jackson, and he scores on the last play of the game! Unbelievable!
Yes, that was the end of the Michigan State at Michigan game in 2015 when Jalen Watts Jackson scooped up the football on a botched punt and with the help of a team of Spartan blockers, rumbled into the end zone as time expired for a most unreal game-winning touchdown. Now, the point of reliving that wonderful moment was not to upset all the Wolverines listening, although I am good at that. It was to let you know that Jalen Watts Jackson, now a graduate of Michigan State with a degree in advertising, is planning to enlist in the United States Air Force in January. So whether you love him or despise what he did, you have to respect Jalen Watts Jackson. Oh, and a little tidbit here too I know you'll like, Colonel. You know what Coach D'Antonio nicknamed the Spartan special team unit that made that miracle play? The Rangers. Just like you.
Hoo-ah! That's great. We'll hear from Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby when he shares some warrant wisdom. And Marine Vet Skip Coriel is here with a mission accomplished look on his face. What happened this week, Skip?
Oh, gosh. Well, actually, what I accomplished this week was I took my four-book series, the God Virus series. I put them all into one book, and I published them on Amazon.com. So now you can get all four books in one.
We're even going to talk about that in the second hour of the show. Here's what we have for you today. On News and Comment by the Colonel, I'm going to discuss how our new foreign policy towards Russia and China has made us much better off than we were before. Then we'll talk with attorney Brooke Goldstein about how she deals with a special kind of war. It's called lawfare. Then we're going to learn about a great organization that has a wonderful name. It's Frontiers of Freedom. I think there may be a brother of ours or something. Then, as I said, we're going to discuss Skip's new book. And then I'll shoot the bull with Dave Sokol. He's a fellow West Pointer and a very successful businessman. Of course, we'll review last week's Service Academy football games when Army won big.
Hey, troops, please invite your friends to join us at this time on this great radio station. Then head on out to frontlinesoffreedom.com and sign up for our free e-newsletter. And join the conversation at facebook.com/frontlinesoffreedom.
Troops, listen up. On Veterans Day, we'll be starting a new program. At least we will if you'll continue to help. I've gotten some good input. Our goal is on each show to honor a deceased military person, not the superstars, but the average soldier, sailor, marine, or airman, or coastie. They don't have to have served in combat. They only have to have served honorably, active duty, guard, or reserves. Here's how to nominate someone. Send me about 250 words summarizing his or her service that I'll read on the show. If you send their picture, we'll include it in our E's newsletter. Send the information to me, Denny@frontlinesoffreedom.com. We welcome your input to this show. Send us your ideas and comments through our website, frontlinesoffreedom.com, or by Facebook. Now it's time for News and Comment by the Colonel on Frontlines of Freedom. First, the news. What's first, Josh?
The Department of Veterans Affairs has acknowledged technical issues are causing 340,000 student veterans to receive incorrect housing stipends to begin the new school year. But now lawmakers contend the problem is bigger. Many veterans are not receiving the payments at all. Veterans going to school using the GI Bill were supposed to receive their second housing payment for the semester on October 1st. In the days since, veterans have been contacting the VA, veterans groups, their lawmakers, and schools to question them about their missing money. Some of them haven't received any money, and others received amounts far less than what they're owed. The VA said last month veterans would get incorrect housing payments because of IT issues. Last year, Congress approved the Forever GI Bill, which included numerous changes to veterans' education benefits. One change calls for calculating veterans' housing allowances based on the zip codes of the campus where they attend classes, rather than defaulting to the main campuses. VA Secretary Robert Wilkie told senators that when the VA went to make the change, its IT systems failed. Secretary Wilkie said, quote, "We received instructions from Congress, and those instructions, they attempted to implement them on a 50-year-old computer system. Even something as simple as changing the percentages broke the system." End quote.
Folks, in February of 2008, I interviewed Jim Peek, a friend who was then serving as President Bush's last VA secretary. He mentioned that his first priority was to get the computer system working right. He clearly wasn't able to get it done in the 1 year that he served. It's been very clear that the corruption at the higher levels of the VA has had and is having horrible impact on veterans, and not fixing the computer system is outrageous. I do believe that our new VA secretary has both the will and the authority to clean things up, but there's so very much to identify and then fix. It's going to take a long time to get things squared away.
Two astronauts from the United States and Russia were safe a week ago after an emergency landing in the highlands of Kazakhstan, following the failure of a Russian booster rocket meant to carry them to the International Space Station. NASA astronaut Nick Hague and Roscosmos Alexei Ovchinin lifted off as scheduled from the Russian-leased Baikonur Cosmodrome in Kazakhstan, but their Soyuz booster rocket failed about 2 minutes after the launch. The rescue capsule automatically jettisoned from the booster and went into a ballistic descent, landing at a sharper-than-normal angle and subjecting the two-man crew to heavy G-forces. NASA Administrator Jim Bridenstine, who watched the launch at Baikonur with his Russian counterpart, tweeted that Hague and Ovchinin are in good condition. He added that a thorough investigation into the cause of the incident will be conducted.
I'm delighted that the astronauts are okay. I'm glad that we're working with Russia in the area of space. While they are clearly our enemy, working with them in areas like this adds a favorable dimension to our relationship.
According to a federal report, Defense Department weapons programs are vulnerable to cyber attacks, and the Pentagon has been slow to protect the systems, which are increasingly reliant on computer networks and software. The Government Accountability Office said the Pentagon has worked to ensure its networks are secure, but only recently began to focus more on its weapons system security. The audit, conducted between September 2017 and October 2018, found that there are mounting challenges in protecting its weapon systems from increasingly sophisticated cyber threats. Pentagon officials have acknowledged for years that the department, the military services, and defense contractors are under persistent cyber probes and attacks, including from state actors seeking to steal data to gain an economic or technological advantage. The report doesn't name potential attackers, but it noted that some advanced threat actors are aware of the vulnerabilities and have well-funded units that focus on positioning themselves to potentially undermine U.S. capabilities. U.S. officials have repeatedly accused Russia and China of using cyber attacks to breach government and commercial networks and systems. The GAO provides no details about what the specific military systems are or how they are vulnerable, due to their classified nature. The report said that 9 major defense acquisition programs from various military services were reviewed. In one case, it said, it took a 2-person test team just 1 hour to gain initial access to a weapon system, and 1 day to gain full control of the system they were testing. Vulnerabilities found within the systems included being able to turn a weapon on or off, affect missile targeting, adjust oxygen levels, or manipulate what controllers see on their computer screens. The report cited problems with poor passwords, insecure lines of communication, and the Defense Department's ongoing struggle to get qualified cybersecurity staff.
I'm sure all this is true. I hope the Pentagon is committing adequate resources to get this under control. And that's the news. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. Coming up on Frontlines of Freedom, I'll share some comments by the Colonel and we'll enjoy some warrant wisdom. Then we'll talk lawfare, a different kind of warfare. Eddie's troops, take a break.
In accordance with U.S. flag code, all Spartan Ash retail stores collect customers' old, worn, faded, and/or frayed American flags. In partnership with local veterans groups, we properly retire the flags we collect, a program we have offered since Veterans Day 2015.
It's a part of Spartan Ash's commitment to patriotism and serving our military heroes and their families. To find a store near you, visit SpartanNash.com.
Now is the time, and wherever you are is the place. The Citadel makes it easier to earn your degree by offering master's degrees, graduate certificates, and undergraduate degree completion programs that are entirely online. These programs are convenient for working professionals and those serving in the U.S. military, continuing the Citadel's legacy of academic excellence. Classes are held to the same high standards that consistently name the Citadel the #1 master's granting public college in the South. The Citadel, online, on your time. Visit citadel.edu/online.
Hey, I'm Brant. So there's this guy named Jordan. He's a healthy guy. He's a dad of six, and he works as a guide in Alaska. And he goes to the doctor, true story, he goes to the doctor, and he's diagnosed with cancer, stage four. And here's the thing. He had switched earlier from medical insurance to MediShare, where Christians share each other's medical bills. So the question for Jordan and his wife, Jenny, was, is this actually going to work?
Our medical bills exceeded $160,000. MediShare members shared all our bills.
And it was about more than just the money, too. This is a real community.
MediShare is a family, a group of people that stick with you through the hardest times of your life. I just don't know how I could have done it without MediShare.
It's so worth looking into. There's a reason this is growing so fast. So if you want to find out more, here is a number for you. 855-90-BIBLE. That's 855-90-BIBLE.
I'm Andy Ross. I'm chairman of the Ambassadors Committee of the Chamber. As members of the Ambassadors Committee, we contact new and renewing members of the Chamber to get their feedback on their Chamber experience and make them feel more at home with the Chamber.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
One of the biggest decisions in your lifetime is buying or selling a house. Choosing a realtor with strong client communication, technology, and marketing skills will dramatically improve your chance of success. That's why Hunterdon and Somerset's residents rely on Joe Peters. Joe believes his clients deserve a smooth and seamless experience, not a roller coaster ride. As a Coldwell Banker sales associate with 20 years of experience, he's helped hundreds of people to achieve their goals and dreams, no matter where they were in the buying or selling process. Joe accomplishes this by approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, he tries to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them his own. Then he takes the mass amount of data that's available and distills it down to a few understandable action points. And finally, he controls the entire process through technology and marketing. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let Joe show you how to take his professional expertise and put it to work for you. To contact Joe, go to jpeters.com or call 908-238-0118.
Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon.
This program is brought to you by Joe Peters at Coldwell Banker, certified USAA Real Estate Rewards Network agent.
This is Colonel Denny Gillum. It's 20 minutes after the hour, and you are in formation and listening to Frontlines of Freedom all across America. A Frontlines of Freedom salute to one of our show's sponsors, Honor and Remember. Our nation must never forget those who paid the ultimate sacrifice for our freedoms. This is the mission of Honor and Remember, a nonprofit based in Virginia, with support from its national sponsor, Spartan Nash, the leading distributor to U.S. commissaries and fifth largest food distributor. Learn more about how you continue the mission at honorandremember.org. Now it's time for comments by the Colonel. Nearly a half century ago, Henry Kissinger, President Nixon's Secretary of State, established a successful strategy for dealing with America's two most dangerous rivals, China and the Soviet Union. He sought closer ties to both of them, the Soviet Union with its over 7,000 nuclear weapons, and China with the world's largest population. He wanted to ensure that China and Russia were not friendlier to each other than each was to us. Given the Soviet Union was much stronger than China at the time, Kissinger courted Beijing. We forgot Kissinger's wisdom during the Obama administration's coddling of China and playing nice with Russia. This began with a clearly disastrous appeasement of Russian conventional and cyber aggressions. And this led to the demonization of Russian President Putin as an anti-democratic authoritarian. Hey, like he was ever anything but a tyrant? Crazy. Russia systematically reabsorbed Crimea, leveraged Eastern Europe, caused trouble in Ukraine, terrified Western Europe, returned to the Middle East after a 40-year hiatus, and hacked into U.S. electoral and political institutions. And there's no doubt about any of this. Under Obama, American leadership rationalized that China would soon not only just be an Asian and Pacific superpower, but eventually would eclipse our nation. It appears that they thought that China's rise to eventual supremacy was destiny rather than being due to incompetent U.S. foreign policy. What followed was systematic and unchecked Chinese commercial and intellectual property cheating. Beijing stole U.S. technology, ran up huge trade surpluses, and warped the entire world trading system. This one-sided Chinese trade war was excused as free trade. China's military aggression in the South China Sea was also blown off by Washington. So the Chinese built artificial bases on the Spratly Islands to bully their neighbors and to manipulate Pacific trade routes. China is there now, abusing all of their geographic neighbors and prepared to go after regional oil reserves. The Obama administration again offered darned little pushback. As a result, Chinese President Xi Jinping openly bragged by 2025 China would dominate the global high-tech industry, 10 years later would dominate the Pacific, and by mid-century would run the world. And he wasn't kidding. That is their clearly stated goal, and he saw that the U.S. incompetence was making it very achievable. For years, Putin and Xi shared a contempt for our national leadership and our foolish policies. They've worked to use Syria, Iran, and North Korea to check our influence while waging cyber war against our companies and institutions. America is still the strongest economic and military power in the world, but we traded a pragmatic and practical foreign policy for a foolish one. Russia and China both agreed that American willpower was weak, and despite their own major differences, they found it mutually profitable to work on cutting America down. And boy, did they. It's no surprise that our allies noticed. From Scandinavia to the Mideast to Asia, they saw that America was losing its global prestige and that we didn't seem to care. Despite the wild charges of Russian collusion, Trump has boxed in Putin with economic sanctions and military aid to Ukraine. He's beefed up defense spending, demanded greater NATO readiness, and accelerated U.S. oil production, but doing so while reaching out in a friendly way to Putin. Being friendly while holding a big stick is far wiser than being obnoxious with a twig. Now we're slapping with China with tariffs to force it to reduce its nearly $400 billion trade surplus with us, while also sending our warships deeper into the South China Sea to let our allies know that China will no longer safely bully them. Further, Trump is negotiating directly with North Korea on denuclearization and forging new defense partnerships with Australia and Japan. He's also cutting trade deals with South Korea, Mexico, and Canada that will exclude China. China's worried. Trump's domestic opponents may write him off as a crude buffoon, but Beijing fears that he's a crafty Machiavelli, already downsizing Chinese power. China's stock market is down, its economy is slowing, and its currency declining. Average Chinese citizens wonder why, in these tough times, their leaders are lavishing foreign aid on African countries and other Asian nations, while China's mired in a trade war with the United States. Because Russia is far weaker than China, our government should be reaching out to Moscow to find common interests in checking Chinese power. Russia could be useful in occasionally siding with an emerging common resistance to China that includes Australia, India, Japan, the Philippines, South Korea, and Taiwan. Right, Mr. Kissinger? Russia certainly has no interest in seeing in its neighborhood a nuclear Iran or an unhinged nuclear North Korea, or having disputes with a Chinese colossus along its 2,600-mile shared border. American appeasement, trade concessions, and extraordinary Chinese wealth did not make China a better global citizen. Perhaps more and stronger U.S. pushback, supported by an array of Asian allies and a conniving Russia, just might. Here's hoping. And those are my comments for today. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. You're listening to Frontlines of Freedom, and now we get to enjoy some warrant wisdom with Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby. What do you have this week, Roland?
This year, the U.S. Coast Guard Academy started offering a new major in cyber systems. And believe it or not, this is the first new major to be created at the Academy since the 1980s. The idea is to get cadets engaged in cybersecurity earlier in their career before they become officers in the Coast Guard. The Coast Guard is recognizing that cyber is everywhere, and there's a huge need for cyber-competent officers. Academy officials say they're very impressed by the interest in the new major so far. 66 cadets in the new class of 2022 have expressed initial interest. And that's with the new cyber systems major not even being listed on the Academy's application form yet. Now, although cadets don't formally get accepted into their major until the beginning of their second year at the Academy, 31 of them have already said they're planning on declaring cyber systems as their major. Now, once cadets formally get admitted into the cyber systems major, they will begin the process of getting their top secret security clearance. And that can take up to 2 years. Now, all Coast Guard Academy cadets go through the process of obtaining at least a secret clearance. However, a top secret clearance is required for most of the cybersecurity missions, and this will ensure that they can immediately start working when they graduate. The Coast Guard Academy has also added a new 2,000 square foot cyber lab, which is expected to start being used in a couple weeks. Large computer screens line a brick wall at the front of the room. Underneath the fresh carpets are hookups for power and data, and cadets will have access to a network which is completely isolated from the Academy's other networks so they can learn and practice their skills. The construction of the $1.3 million lab was funded by the Academy's Alumni Association. In 2017, the Academy started sending graduating cadets to work for Coast Guard Cyber Command. It's anticipated that 2 to 4 cadets will continue to go on and work for the command. But just like most of the cadets graduating from the Academy, the majority of cyber system majors will serve on Coast Guard ships. To be honest, I'm surprised it has taken this long for a new major to be offered at the Coast Guard Academy. I wonder if this means we'll also see some sort of a space major in the near future. Okay, probably not. For Frontlines of Freedom, I'm Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby. Back to you, Colonel.
Thanks, Roland. I always enjoy hearing what you have to say. Straight ahead on Frontlines of Freedom, we'll discuss the Lawfare Project with Brooke Goldstein, and then we'll learn about the frontiers of freedom. All this is coming up. I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. You are standing tall with the Frontlines of Freedom. I'll be right back. Troops, it's time for crunchies. Let's do 50, then stand at ease. LuLaRoe is comfortable, affordable fashion for women, men, and kids. Sold by tens of thousands of small business owners across the U.S., including many military families. Founded by entrepreneurs seeking a career that allows more freedom to be at home with their families, LuLaRoe is sold at in-home pop-up parties and on social media VIP pages. Check out a sampling of the unique prints and patterns in dresses, tops, leggings, and skirts at LuLaRoe.com and follow on Instagram, Facebook, and Pinterest.
This is Marine Vet Skip Coriel with your Home Defense Tip of the Week. Look like sheep and you'll be eaten by wolves. According to interviews done with armed robbers, you are far more likely to be targeted by criminals if you look weak and helpless. Carry yourself with pride and military bearing because many criminals can spot a soft target with one glance. Stay alert and aware of your surroundings. This is just one more way to keep your family safe. For more useful tips on home and personal defense, visit homedefenseshow.com.
USA Radio News.
Vice President Mike Pence said on Tuesday that the death of journalist Jamal Khashoggi will not go without an American response. Pence was speaking at a Washington Post live event.
President Trump has made it very clear that the full resources of our intelligence community, working with intelligence officials in Turkey, in our interactions with Saudi Arabia, and also with other countries around the world, is going to follow the facts, and then decisions will be made.
President Trump has been talking about a phase two of the tax cut plan that would benefit the middle class. Larry Kudlow, the president's top economic advisor, joined Fox News with a few more details.
Well, it's in the planning stage. You know, we've had tax cuts, very effective help for the middle class. Their tax liability is down about $2,000 for a family of four.
For more news, check out USARadio.com. This is USA Radio News.
There's no question you need omega-3s. But which form should you take? Fish oil or krill oil? Scientists have debated this for years. Luckily, there's a new solution to satisfy everyone. It's called Krill Omega 50 Plus. It combines ultra-pure fish oil and joint-soothing krill oil together in just one tiny pill. It's so powerful, it can promote the health of your heart and your arteries. And if that wasn't enough, it can also boost your joint comfort in just days. We're so sure Krill Omega 50 Plus will work for you. We'll even send you a free bottle to put to the test. The debate is over. It's not fish oil or krill oil. It's both. And now it's free. Just pay $4.95 for shipping and claim your free bottle. Call now. 1-800-399-6392. 1-800-399-6392. That's 1-800-399-6392.
This program is brought to you by Joe Peters at Coldwell Banker, certified USAA Real Estate Rewards Network agent.
One of the biggest decisions in your lifetime is buying or selling a house. Choosing a realtor with strong client communication, technology, and marketing skills will dramatically improve your chance of success. That's why Hunterdon and Somerset's residents rely on Joe Peters. Joe believes his clients deserve a smooth and seamless experience, not a roller coaster ride. As a Coldwell Banker sales associate with 20 years of experience, he's helped hundreds of people to achieve their goals and dreams, no matter where they were in the buying or selling process. Joe accomplishes this by approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, he tries to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them his own. Then he takes the mass amount of data that's available and distills it down to a few understandable action points. And finally, he controls the entire process through technology and marketing. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let Joe show you how to take his professional expertise and put it to work for you. To contact Joe, go to jpeters.com or call 908-238-0118.
Troops, welcome back to the nation's largest military veteran talk radio show, Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. Troops, please do send me your comments and questions. Email me through frontlinesoffreedom.com. Now it's time to meet a lady who does a different kind of battle. It's called lawfare, and it can be quite devastating. Brooke Goldstein has been with us before to discuss it. Welcome back to the show, Brooke.
Thank you so much, Colonel Gillum, for having me.
Hey, Brooke, it's a pleasure. Brooke, give us some of your background and then help us to understand what lawfare is.
So I am an attorney. I was actually born and raised in Canada, but my mother is a New Yorker, so I've always had dual citizenship. I came out to practice law here in the United States. I really started off in the entertainment law business, and I went into filmmaking. And then I worked as in-house counsel for a brilliant man named Daniel Pipes, who runs a think tank called the Middle East Forum. And that's where I first encountered what we called Islamist lawfare. Lawfare is a term of art. It is meant to denote the use of the law as a weapon of war, normally legal systems and the courts are used to recover for a harm or to pursue justice. We're talking about when legal systems are being manipulated, when they're being abused to complement terrorism, to complement asymmetric warfare. So I first came across this whole phenomenon when I was working at the Middle East Forum as in-house counsel, and we were running a legal defense fund, which basically was there to financially support members of the counterterrorism community who were being frivolously sued in an attempt to silence them when they were publishing and speaking publicly about terror front organizations, charities who were really funneling money to terrorism or Islamist terror in general. And those who they were targeting through their writing, through their speaking, when they were trying to raise awareness in the post-9/11 world about the very real threat of Islamist terrorism and their financial and other support, they started getting sued by the very people that they were outing. And of course, the lawsuits were frivolous and they were designed to intimidate them and silence them. And so the Middle East Forum project there came to their defense. And after working with the Middle East Forum, I wrote my first book called Islamist Lawfare, The War Against Free Speech, where I argue that the legal intimidation through lawfare coupled with violent intimidation, which is actual physical violent attacks against people who do things like, you know, republish the Danish cartoon of Muhammad or do films about the treatment of women in Muslim-majority companies, plus the trend to defame anyone as Islamophobic if they speak about these issues, has resulted in a tremendous chilling effect on our free speech in this great country.
So lawfare is basically intimidating you, among other things, by lawsuits that you cannot continue to afford to fight against, even if they're frivolous, so therefore you get silent. That's a
right.
part of
so
it, at least, right?
That's one aspect. So that's what we call libel lawfare. And another aspect is really in the global arena, what we're seeing now is legal systems being used by terrorist groups, okay, Western legal systems being used by terrorist groups and by their supporters to complement their activities on the asymmetric battlefield. So what do I mean? You have a group like Hamas, a specially designated foreign terrorist group that uses children as human shields, that hides its rockets in hospitals and children's schools, that uses civilians as human shields routinely. And then when they target Israel with terrorist attacks and Israel obviously responds, there is a civilian casualty because that is the whole point of their tactic. They turn around and, you know, say file war crimes charges at The Hague, claiming that, you know, Israel is responsible for the civilian casualties when the laws of armed conflict actually clearly state that he who puts another intentionally in harm's way is therefore liable for the foreseeable result. So there's that, and there's obviously the misinterpretation and misuse of different legal terminology like terrorism, apartheid, genocide, proportional use of force. All these terms have legal definitions, but they're misused and misapplied by the media, by political groups, in an attempt to demonize Western democracies as they fight terrorism on the asymmetric battlefield.
Well, yes, I agree with you. That we sure see that. This is Colonel Danny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. We're discussing lawfare with Brooke Goldstein. Brooke, we still got some time. Give us a couple of examples of fights you've had recently.
Well, to put it into context, this is the phenomenon of the lawfare. And what I do is I run the world's only pro-Israel litigation fund. And we are the only litigation fund in the world that actively supports and facilitates civil rights litigation on behalf of the Jewish people. So what we did is we sort of reversed it. We said, well, there's all this money, millions and millions of dollars by, you know, being raised and being used by groups like the Council on American Islamic Relations and other Muslim legal funds and sometimes secular legal funds and not-for-profit legal funds to demonize Israel. Let's pursue justice. There are so many instances where the basic human and civil rights of the Jewish community are being violated in the most outlandish way. Let's turn to the courts to pursue justice. And that's what we've done. And in the past 3 years, we have engaged in over 70 legal actions in 16 different jurisdictions, and we have had resounding success applying the law. So one example is Kuwait Airways. I don't know if you heard, we got a little bit of press on it. Kuwait Airways Corporation is the airline of the state of Kuwait, which is engaged in the Arab League boycott of Israel, which is illegal. And Kuwait Airways had the chutzpah to operate out of JFK, my home turf, and fly a flight from JFK to London and exclude Israelis, exclude Jews. They refuse to fly anyone with an Israeli passport, which is a violation not only of federal aviation law, but a violation of New York State anti-discrimination law. And it was also a violation of their lease with the Port Authority, which was a landlord at JFK. So we brought legal actions against Kuwait Airways around the world, and we succeeded in shutting down not just their JFK London route, but all of their inter-European flight paths. And now we have several legal actions in Europe, one particularly in Germany, where we're now going after the rest of their legs. Because in the 21st century, there really should not be any place for this type of racist discrimination, especially in the commercial airline business, which is supposed to be a means by which everyone, no matter what their nationality, should be able to travel, and provided, obviously, that they abide by the rules of the airline, which should be applied fairly to all, but they should be able to avail themselves of their commercial services, especially if they're doing business in the Western world.
Well, I could not agree more. And that is something that is so downplayed. That's almost like it's being kept as a secret. Brooke, tell our listeners how they can contact you, how they can learn more about Lawfare, how they can support it, because I'm sure you're a nonprofit, right?
We are. We are a 501c3 nonprofit. We survive entirely off donations from the public, from foundations, and we do need your support. So please feel free to visit our website at thelawfareproject.org. Lawfare is spelled L-A-W-S as in Frank, A-R-E, thelawfareproject.org. If you'd like to see a list of our current cases, just click on the cases page And you'll see all the different types of litigation that we're engaged in. We're combating extremism. We are going after the United Nations Relief Works Agency, which is the arm of the UN that is engaged in unlawfully using U.S. taxpayer and EU taxpayer money to aid and abet Hamas. We have a lawsuit right now against the French government for their discriminatory labeling against Israeli products. We have a lawsuit right now against the Belgian government, which has decided to ban ritual slaughter of animals. And we also have a very active arm in Spain where we have successfully engaged in 44 different legal actions against 44 different Spanish municipalities who have attempted to discriminate against Israelis and Jews in their economic policies.
All I can say is, wow, I know that the things you're talking about do exist, but I didn't know somebody was doing something about it. And as long as we've known each other, Brooke, I should have figured you'd be in the middle of it. Thank you.
Jenny, thank you for your kind words. Thank you so much for your time and everything that you do. It is greatly appreciated.
I really appreciate you, Brooke. Thanks for joining us today. Thank you for being a warrior for justice. I truly appreciate you.
Thank you so much.
Coming up next on Frontlines of Freedom, we'll learn about Frontiers of Freedom. Not Frontlines of Freedom, Frontiers of Freedom. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. Groups, it's push-up time. I want you to do 103 push-ups. That's how many I do every day. Then take a break, but stay in the area. I'll be right back. Why would a U.S. soldier in combat be jailed for shooting the enemy? I mean, isn't that why we send our troops into combat? Yet a number of our troops are or have been in military prison for murder for killing our enemies. The problem is confusing rules of engagement and some of our leaders who lack the courage to stand up for their troops. United American Patriots stands up for these troops. Check UnitedPatriots.org. That's UnitedPatriots.org.
For nearly 2,000 severely injured veterans, everyday life has become filled with barriers. So we build specially adapted homes at Homes for Our Troops. And thanks to our donors and supporters, this life-changing gift of freedom is provided mortgage-free to these veterans. But we need you to join us, too, in completing this important mission. Please visit HFOTUSA.org and help build homes and rebuild lives.
Good morning, Hunterdon. This is Big C coming to you from HunterdonChamberRadio.com at the studio offices of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce in Flemington, New Jersey. Good morning, Hunterdon kicks off your day by providing you with local news, traffic and weather, as well as light topics through Vitamin C, Wake Up Call, and Chamber Chat. I also have many guests focusing on Hunterdon County community, business, and education. Listen to me every weekday morning from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Good Morning Hunterdon, HunterdonChamberRadio.com.
I'm Andy Ross. I'm chairman of the Ambassadors Committee of the Chamber. As members of the Ambassadors Committee, we contact new and renewing members of the Chamber to get their feedback on their Chamber experience and make them feel more at home with the Chamber.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time. This program is brought to you by Joe Peters at Coldwell Banker, certified USAA Real Estate Rewards Network agent. If you are a spouse or a USAA member, you can get a reward of between $350 and $6,000 when you buy or sell your next home. This also applies to the children and grandchildren of current USAA members. Call Joe Peters at Coldwell Banker to learn more. He can be reached at 908-238-0118. That's 908-238-0118.
This is Colonel Denny Gillum. This is the final formation for this hour on Frontlines of Freedom. Troops, I think Frontlines of Freedom has a cousin with a similar name. Frontiers of Freedom seems to share a lot of values with us. George Landeth is their leader, and he's joining us now. Welcome to Frontlines of Freedom, George.
It is great to be with you.
Hey, George, give us a little bit of your background, who you are, and then introduce us to Frontiers of Freedom.
Sure. Well, you know, first of all, I guess maybe at least as I see myself, one of my most important things is that I'm the father of seven children and the husband of one. And my family life is important to me. And part of the reason why I'm interested in politics is because, like anybody else, I want to see my children inherit a world that is better or at least as good as the one I inherited. And I sometimes feel like we're not headed in the right direction to make that happen. So, you know, I want to be involved in those things. I'm a Rock Rib conservative. I ran for Congress against an entrenched liberal incumbent in Southern Virginia. I served on a public school board. And so I've seen a lot of the sorts of games that liberals play. And I got very interested in engaging and trying to stand up for freedom and liberty and the principles that we find in the Constitution.
Well, our Constitution is what we veterans took an oath to support and defend. So anything Absolutely. That has to do with keeping our Constitution, not just in existence, but actually having government follow it, makes a great deal of sense to me.
Oh, absolutely. And so that's what Frontiers of Freedom is about. It was founded by Malcolm Wallace, who was a U.S. senator, a conservative from Wyoming. He served three terms in the U.S. Senate. When he retired, he founded Frontiers of Freedom because he wanted to continue to advocate for constitutional solutions, limited government, freedom and opportunity, and peace through strength.
Well, that's what it would take to keep us as a constitutional republic. And certainly in my lifetime, I'm 77, I've seen an awful lot of movement away from the constitutional republic we were starting to form. So, yeah. I know a lot of people that are upset with what they see, but they don't know what to do about it. I'm taking it that Frontiers of Freedom is someplace they can plug into, actually take some action. Am I right?
Absolutely. Our website is very easy. It's ff.org, ff.org, like Frontiers Freedom, you know, FF, not SS or anything like that, but FF. And there's information on issues that we're working on, issues we're covering. You can sign up there for a newsletter. We don't sell your name or anything like that. And we won't fill you with spam either. We typically only send out occasional emails. We only do it when we think it's an important issue. Otherwise, we just figure you can come to the website when it suits you. But bottom line is, the idea of liberty, it's a full-time endeavor. You know, if they say the price of liberty is eternal vigilance, I would argue that in more modern vernacular, it's you can't just be a passive spectator. You have to be a participant. You got to enter the game, enter the field. And that's hopefully what we can help people do. And we try to give them information that's helpful, and we try to fight on their behalf in the halls of Congress and before even the courts sometimes, and most definitely before the administrative agencies.
Well, we absolutely have to do that. It's a little bit like if you needed a car and I gave you one, brand new car, and I checked with you 6 months later and you told me it was running terribly, and I asked you why. Had you had it put any oil in it? Well, no. Had you had it tuned up? Well, no. If you have something valuable, like our freedom, like our constitutional republic, you have to take care of it, not somebody
right.
else. And
right.
it's that involvement of citizens that is what our country is lacking.
Yeah, and I think that the more we are involved, the more accountable we can hold government, we will see government begin to bend to our will. Whereas too often, I feel like government expects us to bend to its will. But as we get more involved, as we don't just get involved at election time, that's an important time to be involved. But I would argue we should also be involved in between elections. You know, that's the beauty of a republic, is that it is designed to be responsive to our views. And I think too few of us are involved. I think there's a lot more Americans that agree with us and always participate. And so we need to, you know, get those folks activated and involved so that some sanity can return to Washington.
Yes, sir. This is Colonel Danny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. We're discussing Frontiers of Freedom with George Landa. George, I hear a lot from people that they are frustrated, but they don't know what to do. If that kind of a citizen contacted you through your website or whatever, what kind of advice, what kind of things would you have them do or encourage them to do or give them resources to do?
Absolutely. Well, normally when I speak to groups and what my call to action is, often I ask them to contact their congressman and express their opinion. You can write them a letter, you can call them, but let them know where you stand. And I think that can have a real impact. We saw that in the most recent judicial nomination hearings, that there were, you know, some who wavered and some who got a message loud and clear that they needed to stand up, and they did. And so I think that it's very valuable to make sure they understand how we feel. And we can do it politely. I'm not saying we need to call and shout at them and say, if, you know, but I think we can also know this is an important issue to me. And, you know, the nice way to say it is to say, this issue matters to me. In fact, it matters so much that how you do on this particular issue will determine whether or not I can support you in the future. You know, so we don't have to threaten them and, you know, but you can just say it nice like that. They get the message. They heard that. They'll go like, okay, I got it. You know, and the staff person takes that call. They totally get what you just said to them. And I think it's more effective than just, we kind of get on the phone and yell at them and tell them that they're worthless bums and so forth. I'd give them a very, very clear message of what you want them to do on a particular bill or a particular vote, and then tell them how much it matters to you.
I agree with you. One of the things that most politicians can't do is read minds. So if they're your representative, how do they know what you'd like them to do if you don't tell them? And
right.
The best way to communicate is civilly, nicely, respectfully, isn't it?
Yeah, and that doesn't mean wishy-washy.
No.
I'm not at all suggesting. I'm just saying sometimes people think that they'll get more attention if they kind of call up ranting and raving and screaming and yelling. And usually they just put the phone down and say, that was a crazy person, and they ignore you. So you want to give them a thoughtful reason why you feel that way, and then make sure that they understand that this is an important issue to you by just letting them know that this is going to impact how you vote in the future. Yeah, that's an implied threat, but it's done in a way that's not, I'll drive you from office, you lousy bum, you know, that kind of, you know what I mean? And I do think that the reason why being very clear with them is important is because the squeaky wheel in politics will get gets the grease most of the time. And there may be a few very principled members of Congress who will vote right even if you do not call them. But the truth is most of them will be swayed by popular opinion. And the left and the crazies in the world are, in fact, calling up and trying to persuade them. So we have to be equally committed and make sure that they understand that we are out there, too, because when we don't, it makes it look like we don't care. And then all of a sudden they're like, well, okay, if they don't care, I guess I'll just go with what the, you know, and that's dangerous for us. Because the mobs are not interested in constitutional republic. They're not interested in limited government. They're not interested in following the rule of law. They look at government as something that can provide them with the goodies they'd like, as opposed to a government that's going to protect their rights and provide them a fair and a level playing field and freedom and opportunity with which they then get to do something with. And so we have to make sure that we have staked out our ground and been forcefully. And when we do, I think we'll see results.
I couldn't agree more. And those contacts have to be regular, once a month or whatever, which means you have to actually have to pay attention so you know what you're calling them about. But a respectful, regular communication will get their attention. I know it. I've seen it happen, and I share it. George, that's awesome. One more time, George, tell us how people can contact, plug into Frontiers of Freedom.
Sure. They can follow us at ff.org, and they can follow me on Twitter at G Landreth. That's L-A-N-D-R-I-T-H with the G for George in front of it, G. Landreth.
And if you forget that, send it to me, Denny, at frontlinesoffreedom.com. I'll forward it to George. George, thank you for joining us today. Thank you for your concern for our nation. Thank you for Frontiers of Freedom. I think Frontlines and Frontiers are brothers. Proud to call you friend.
Absolutely. Likewise.
Now it's time for our Stand Tall Troop report. This is when we find an outstanding performance of duty. We get to honor this fine troop. An Army combat veteran who lost three of his limbs from a roadside bomb explosion in Afghanistan appeared Saturday on Fox and Friends to share his inspiring story about climbing Mount Kilimanjaro. Quote, my driving force was the five guys who didn't make it home, said Adam Keyes, referring to members of his platoon who died from the explosion. After being severely wounded in 2010, Keyes made it through more than 100 surgeries. He said that after receiving a new prosthetic legs, he decided to train for the 19,000-foot trek up the highest mountain in Africa. A Purple Heart recipient, obviously, Keyes left his medal at the summit of Kilimanjaro to recognize servicemen and women around the world. Quote, we're in this together, we've always been, he said. It was my Purple Heart, but I left it on top for all of us. He added that the climb took him 6 days and that he trained for 6 months to prepare his body. Quote, most people said they trained for a year and a half, he said. Keyes' next big test is to run in the New York City Marathon on November 4th. So stand tall, Adam Keyes. Frontlines of Freedom and our nation's patriots salute you. This concludes the first hour of the show. We'll start the second hour reviewing a new book with the author, Frontlines of Freedom co-host Skip Coriel. Then I'll shoot the bull with an Army vet and award-winning businessman, David Sokol. And naturally, we'll conclude with last weekend Service Academy football games, especially Army's win. We'll conclude with our weekly mailbag, military history, and our Armed America Report. This is Colonel Danny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom Troops. It's beautiful outside still. Get out and run a couple of miles of wind sprints, then grab some protein and rehydrate with water. And finally, put a big smile on your proud-to-be-an-American face and send me your thoughts by email or on Facebook.
Sergeant Dale Beatty was wounded by a roadside bomb.
Swift 1-2 is en route with urgent HVAC to Mercy. ETA approximately 35 minutes. How copy?
Now begins the most important journey of his life.
Roger, Swift 1-2.
From the battlefield to home. Home to some very good medicine. His family's love. They'll be staying together at one of the many Fisher houses to help Dale get better and return to his life. Fisher House Foundation provides comfortable housing and other services to the families of wounded warriors and veterans while they receive care at military and VA hospitals. Fisher House is among the highest rated charities, with 95% of donations going to help our military families in their time of greatest need. Remember those who serve and sacrifice. Consider a tax-deductible gift to Fisher House. Fisher House, because a family's love is good medicine. Go to fisherhouse.org for more information.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News.
National Security Advisor John Bolton is set to hold a news conference after meeting with Russian President Vladimir Putin in Moscow. The meeting comes as President Trump says he's pulling us out of an international-range nuclear forces treaty that Bolton says Russia is violating. Barron County, Wisconsin Sheriff Chris Fitzgerald has identified two vehicles that are believed to have been in the area of the residence where 13-year-old Jamie Kloss went missing and her parents were killed. Fitzgerald said they're looking for a Dodge Challenger that is red or orange in color, a Ford Edge, or an Acura MDX, both of those being black. Fitzgerald said now is the time, if you know anything, to come forward.
For the community, this is a good time. Now that we have some vehicles of interest, to look for changes in behavior or routine of people. We believe Jamie was in the home at the time of the homicides. We believe she is still in danger.
Volunteers are extending their search in the area. You're listening to USA Radio News.
An official message from Medicare. Open enrollment ends soon.
So now's the time to be open-minded.
Look at everything, like prescription drug plans and Medicare Advantage plans from private insurers.
Why? Because plans change. So can your health needs.
I found lower costs and extra benefits and saved money.
Open to something better? Visit Medicare.gov or call 1-800-MEDICARE today.
Open enrollment ends December 7th.
Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
This flu season, one Walgreens flu shot can make a world of difference. So you can protect yourself and also your close-talking coworkers, high-fiving neighbors, two-month-old niece. That's why Walgreens has specially trained pharmacists that have provided over 60 million flu shots since 2010. Stop by for your flu shot today with a $0 copay with most insurance. Because protecting the world starts with protecting yours. Walgreens. Trusted since 1901. Vaccine subject to availability. State, age, and health-related restrictions may apply.
They're going to start testing a new kind of credit score that could soon help people with bad credit or no credit to qualify for loans. Here's more from USA Radio Network's Chris Barnes.
FICO, which created the scores most people are familiar with, says this new score will consider how you manage your checking and savings accounts along with other financial activity. They say it could help some people obtain new lines of credit thanks to what's being called the Ultra FICO score. That pilot program will get started next year.
Tuesday's Mega Millions jackpot is set for just over $1.6 billion. Now, the reason we're seeing such a spike in jackpots is the price of a Mega Million ticket went from $1 up to $2, and they also added a number of Mega Balls to the game, which made it more challenging or more difficult to hit. All that being said, these people still think they have a chance of winning the big one.
I'm holding the lucky money right here. I'm
going to win.
Should have a lucky ticket here.
$1,300 worth.
This is USA Radio News.
The following update is for drivers who pay too much for car insurance due to DUIs, DWIs, tickets, or anything else. Our company specializes in low-cost SR22 auto insurance. We know that mistakes happen and offer free